Welcome to Healing the Heart with Dr. Eric Love. Spoken of by many as one of the greatest living masters of the back flower remedies, he has the oldest ongoing classes with the remedies in the world, 40 years, and has worked with over 100,000 people. He will be showing us how to recognize and heal our shadow side and the emotional baggage we all carry, using the advanced protocols he has developed with the Love Healing System. To learn more, please visit his website at www.drericlove.com for more information. Now, here is our host, Dr. Eric Love.
Hi, everyone. Dr. Love here, and welcome to Healing the Heart. First of all, let's have a prayer. A short moment of prayer before the show. Oh, Lord, please bless our work tonight and that we can touch in through your grace, touch into the secrets of the whole healing process so that we can get our healing, we can help other people get healed, and we can learn the secrets and the wisdom that have been denied us for so long. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your love, and keep it coming. Amen. Disclaimer. For the FDA, whatever we're talking about is not to cure disease. We're not trying to cure disease. That's the C word we're not supposed to use. So we're not trying to cure disease, that C word. And we're not trying to diagnose disease. And nothing we go into is trying to treat disease. And God bless the FDA. Okay. First of all, I hate to toot my horn, but my claim to fame is that I'm the only guy you'll meet who actually has peace of mind. Through God's grace, I've got real, genuine peace of mind, and that's what I teach my students how to do. I'm healthy, and I have no disease. I'm whole. I'm not stuck anywhere in my life. And I'm emotionally healthy. No depression, no anxiety, and no fear, worries and stuff. And I'm happy. I'm one of the only people you'll meet who'll tell you that he's really happy. So the outcome of my school and my teaching is that you too can learn to have peace of mind and be happy inside. Okay. Disease is caused from the emotional. That's a secret. Very few people know that. Don't believe it. But you know what? It's the truth and it's the secret. Disease comes from the emotional. Disease comes from the emotional spiritual conflict that we carry inside of us. Disease comes from karma. All the major diseases, all the major events in our life are predestined. Every spiritual teacher in the East, every spiritual teacher of all times will tell you that. So disease comes from the karma from past lives. We read it through the emotional. It comes in through the mind, through the emotional component, through the emotional spiritual conflict. So in my system called the Love Healing System, which I've developed over the last 40 years, it's one of the best programs in the world to heal people. And I have to say this with all humility, but I really need to say it because you know what? It's the truth. And I'm trying to get this system out there to people. It's one of the best and most effective healing systems on the planet Earth. We use the Bach flower remedies, the wonderful, which have been around since 1936, the wonderful SAF, the wonderful alignment technique, and a deeper relationship with God. The SAF. Louise Hay said, let me quote what she said about it. This system will blow your mind. It is light years ahead of any other form of therapy, and I highly recommend it to anyone who wants to release old patterns. So you can take your money, take it to the bank, that the SAF is the most powerful system. It's light years ahead of what everybody else is doing. I teach that. Bach flowers. Now, I don't just teach Bach flowers. I teach a protocol that I've discovered over 40 years, which is going to allow you to do healing work with people and with yourself that you could never do unless someone taught you how to do it. But listen to what Dr. Bach said. So it's a much more advanced way of using the Bach flower essences. The Bach flower essences, by the way, are designed to heal the emotional component. Been around since 36, and you can find them in almost any health food store. This system of healing, Dr. Bach wrote, is the most perfect which has been given to mankind within living memory. Bach continues, it has the power to, now here's a C word which we're not supposed to use, it has the power to, C word, disease, and in its simplicity it may be used in the household. That's pretty straightforward. I found it to be, along with the SAF, the most powerful system on earth. But you have to, for healing, but you have to have someone explain to you how to do it. And that's what I do in my course, and that's what I do in my book. This, and then we use Dr. Lorraine Day's system of healing through diet. And let me tell you what Dr. Lorraine Day said. This program will, and this is the C word again that we're not supposed to use. She said this. She said this on the Art Bell Show, 1998, with 22 million listeners. Now check this out. This program will, here's C word again, virtually any disease. Program will, C word. Virtually any disease. In fact, she said, in fact, I have in front of me the medical records of over 300 people completely, here's the C word again, completely C worded of AIDS and HIV, including guys dying of AIDS. This is what she said. That's not me quoting her about her program, including guys dying of AIDS in the intensive care with the brain tumors. They get on my program, the AIDS heals, and when they go to the doctor, they're not even HIV positive. Now, that's what she said. With 22 million listeners, I've been using her program since 1998, used it with a lot of students, and I'm telling you, it works, and that's what I teach you how to do. I had a friend tell me, I said to him, you know, you're a really great psychic. She was telling me some things. I said, you're a really cool psychic. And she said, yeah, you know, I can read everybody else, but I can't read myself. I can't do it for myself. I said, well, that's why you study with me, because I'm going to teach you how to read yourself. I'm going to teach you how to heal yourself. Because the first law of healing, spiritual law of healing, is physician, heal thyself. If you can't heal yourself, you're lost in the wilderness. And there's a secret gateway, which all the healers don't know about, which is how to heal your own self. And that's what I teach you how to do in my courses. My system, the love healing system, you can do it on yourself. In fact, you need to do it on yourself. Heal yourself before you go out there working to heal other people. There's two ways to learn my system. The first way is to get my two books, and the second way is to take my course. I'll give you a commercial about my course later on toward the end of this show. My two books, let me tell you about them. I spent 4 hours every day for a year writing The Art of Healing, 650 pages, and Physician Heal Thyself, 450 pages. They're good, and they're good books, and they take you through the system. You can get those from me. They're $35. Send me an email. Send me call me on the telephone. And I'll be glad to send those to you. They're e-books. Dr. Eric Love, 406-585-0774 or DrEricLove.com or it's on the BBS website. And, you know, give me a ring. MedicineWind, my email is medicinewind.11@gmail.com. Oh, it's confusing all the ways you contact me. Okay, look, let's take a point. And then we're going to get back. We're going to talk about the mind, healing the mind. But first, a point. There was a time when you were young. You had some peace inside. life was simple and it was easy, and you grew and prospered from your wings. Now this effort and this stress, and everywhere you have to strain. Everything is so complex in the doing and the pain. Like the wind up in the trees, the gentle sound of breeze that moves across the mountainside, with timeless voices of the mountain wind. Another log upon the fire, blazing in the afternoon. We'll need to get more wood. We'll need to go into the forest deep and fetch our arms with wood that lies in stillness, waiting ages on the ground. This fire will crackle through the night and shine its warmth across our hearts and bring to life the hidden dreams, the calls of what we wanted and of what became. Away from school and work and devils of the city streets, away from honking cars and cries of sour people wrapped in secrets. They know nothing of. Beside the fire and supper that will make us sing, and starlight streaming meteors, and comets of the cosmic dust that falls so gently across our eyes. If only there was peace within. If only rest would bless the fibers of my skin. And calm, just like this mountainside. If calm and peace would flow within. Where is the peace that you once had? Where is the silence and the stillness of your mind? Where is the truth so deep inside? Where is the wisdom and the secret of the self, true self, so deep, so deep? Whoa, that's deep. Deep myself out of that. That's cool. That's a cool one. Okay, mind. The mind, because you see, if you're going to take care of disease, if you're going to heal disease, if you're going to heal pain, emotional pain, you're going to need to work with the mind, the stress, the heart. The ancient Egyptians said that the mind is located in the heart. You need to take off this paperclip. This paperclip's driving me crazy. All these papers flying around on one hand, and sitting out here in the desert by the railroad tracks, can see for miles. This is a beautiful, timeless desert. So the ancient Egyptians said the mind is located in the heart, not the brain. In fact, all the great spiritual teachers of the East said and say that the mind is located in the heart, not the brain. So if you're going to take care of the mind, of your fears, anxieties, worries, etc., you're going to need to enter into your heart. That's where the playing field is. Not the brain. See, if you think the mind's in your brain, I think you probably ought to take some Prozac or some Zoloft or go to the doctor and get some Oxycontin or go have a drink and just stuff it all down. If you want to heal it, you got to go into your mind. Unless you get out of your head and get into your heart, you will not be able to deal with your mind. You'll be clueless about what's going on in your mind because you have to open up your feelings to be able to deal with your mind. You'd be a loser with the mind, separated, split off from your mind, your heart, unless you go into your heart, get out of your head. And you'll find that during the day, you're falling into your head. You're getting back in your head. Being intellectual about stuff instead of feeling. Now, so with the mind, when you're dealing with the mind and you're trying to get into healing, we need a different format. We need a teacher-student format and to move away from the doctor-patient relationships. Because when you're learning about your healing and learning about the mind, you have to have that teacher-student format. It's the only one that works. Doctor-patient. I think the doctor's going to give us Prozac. Dr. Prinz, who's a psychiatrist, studies with me. She says that the psychiatric training now, they don't do any therapy. They don't teach the doctors any Jungian analysis, any counseling, nothing. She says all they teach is, the psychiatrist is pharmacology. Teach them how to use drugs. Now, if you're going to get into your mind to do the healing on the emotional component, we're looking to set up a healing process for you to move into. Dr. Friend said the action of the remedy is just to stimulate and catalyze you to go ahead and start going through the healing process that you need to go through to start working on your issues. That's what we use the remedies for. And that following the protocols of the teach. And we need to learn to feel when we check out of our heart and go into our head. Checking out of the heart and going into the head. Let me read a poem that gets back into our heart. What you push away, the feelings and the deep emotions of your heart. Your heart, a stone. A hieroglyph upon the temple wall. A block of ice. A rock of ice. The way you never feel. The desert sun is ripping through the sky. Who would not feel? The cold of icy mountain canyons of a winter night. Who would not feel? But deep into your heart, of icy stillness, you deny, have stopped feelings that should flow. Like mountain streams of flowing water across your heart, the heart, feelings, you deny. Because there's so much pain, you do not want to see or ever eat. Talk about. The path of earth, the ancient path that winds through desert magic places, that moves sometimes your soul to tears. The beauty in the sand of earth, the glory of eternal life and death that moves and breathes across the desert night. The stars that send their gentle light. Across the timeless wisdom of your soul. The way that you refuse to feel. How distant from yourself and from your needs. Separated from your true self. Conformed to fit the person. You are told to be acting, posing in the desert night, split off and split away from all the deep emotions of your heart. There is, you know so much about the world and life, and yet. You do not know yourself. Okay. got to go deep if you're going to heal. So we normally check out of the heart and go up in our head. We live in our head most of the time. My course is a heart-centered. I teach you how. It's a heart-centered experience of learning, and I teach you how to live in your heart. We need to learn to become heart-centered and get out of our heart and get into our head. Now, I want to talk briefly about karma. All the major events in our life are predestined. All disease is predestined. We don't choose our parents. We don't choose when we get born or choose when we die. All of that is written by the flowing pen, the hand of God. Our death, all the great masters of the East will tell you, our death is predestined. It's destined by the number of breaths that we take. In the Bible, it said, thy breaths are numbered. God chooses that for us. God selects the circumstances of our life. Some are born beautiful, some are ugly, some are rich, some are poor, some are happy, some are unhappy. Some are healthy, some have disease. God selects our situation, and we have to bear it and go through it because our God is to embrace it. Lee Iacocca said, who turned around Ford Motor Company, he said, I always play the cards I'm dealt. Our job is to learn from our experiences, to learn from the situations and the circumstances that we've been dealt, the cards we've been dealt. Suffering is to get us into this process, the process of healing. Remember, we have to go into a healing process. Suffering and pain and disease is to get us to work on ourselves. In this age, this dark age that we're coming out of, because we're going to the age of enlightenment, but we're still got one foot stuck in the dark ages. In the dark age, going all the way back to Alexander the Great, and Norma, the first of all the pharaohs in recorded history, all the way back then, we've been in the dark ages. Our soul during this time has chosen to give us pain and disease and suffering as a way to wake us up, to get us to work on ourselves. I'll give you an example. I had a student who went to go pee and blood came out. And she said to herself, she said, my God, she says, I'm going to get a disease. If I don't leave this man immediately, I'm going to get a disease. She snuck out about 5 nights. Well, he had molested their daughter. He had forced her to have sex and raped her on many, many occasions. Never listened to her very dumb. And it was time for her to leave. And God used the blood in the urine as a wake-up call. I had a guy in California whose wife was hating on him, always hating on him. She wouldn't change. So, they separated him. His pain was to get him to listen to the voice of his own soul. I had a student who here comes a train. We'll see if you can hear the train as it's coming by. Here's a therapist and doing body work, but he had all this pain. Listening to this now, God bless you. He processed his assertiveness, processed his boundaries, dealt with his baggage. Okay, I'm going to see if I can get this train. There we go. I don't know if you heard that. Passing now, just as I'm trying to do this show, here comes this train of passing. He processed his assertiveness and his boundaries, and now he has no pain. I had a woman in California who had so much pain. She pulled away from her, she had a lot of body pain, and she had a lot of emotional pain. There are all these psychiatric drugs. Her father was dominating and controlling her. And I'm going to roll this window up here. Get so much noise here from the train. Her father had been dominating, controlling her for so long, as she took the remedies, as she became shielded with her boundaries, her body pain went away because now she was getting the lessons. And her emotional pain went away. So she went to her psychiatrist and she said, listen, she says, I'm going to go off the psychiatric drug. Psychiatrist looked at her and said, why? She said, because I'm not depressed anymore. So the psychiatrist helped her to get off the psychiatric drugs. God bless her. Her pain and her depression was a sign that she needed to handle this karmic baggage, old baggage of this father dominating, controlling her, and putting this crap on her. Her boyfriend in Montana had a lot of back pain. This guy had massive back pain. One of the most workaholic people I ever met. He took the workaholic remedies. He processed that workaholic stuff right out and became a peaceful, still person who, when he works hard, but not so many hours, and he hangs about the house and just puttering about. He has no body pain. He never got any treatments. Neither one of these people got any treatment. His pain was his soul telling him that he needed to heal this workaholic piece. And he was the worst workaholic. And he healed him, and his pain went away. When I was younger, I always had pain in my stomach. Always had pain almost every day in my stomach. As I went through the healing process, when I first connected with SAS, I found out and took the remedies for shielding and protection, I found out that the reason I had the pain was because I was letting people dominate and control me, and I was trying to digest their negative energy. So as I pulled away from these people and got my boundaries and borders, the pain in my stomach went away. It never came back. So that's an example of how suffering, pain, disease, bad situations are given to us as an experience of what we're supposed to go through to learn certain lessons. If you want to get out of the pain, if you want to get out of the suffering, so you got to figure out what the lessons are and get into a healing process to embrace the solutions and embrace God's grace of finding out what it is you're supposed to learn here. And as you begin to learn it and go into the healing process, the suffering will begin to diminish. One more quick thing. We're going to be talking about dominating remedies tonight. Next few nights. Well, then we're going to move into workaholic remedies. The one thing that dominating people do is they can't let go of the need to control. The workaholic people too. We need to learn to reach the still point. We're running here, running there, making objectives and projects, always chasing, wanting, searching. We need to learn to go into the monastery. Because sometimes certain things we can only heal on the inner self, not by running and chasing. Richard Gere, the famous actor, Runaway Bride, for example, and he did other wonderful movies. He when he's done with the movie, he goes to the ashram of the Dalai Lama in Nepal, and he sits there for 6 months in the stillness and the quiet of the monastery. He gets centered, comes back to peace, is working out his issues and his baggage, gets back in touch with the messages that God wants him to learn. And then he comes back, does another movie. Steven Seagal is another actor who does that. He has a guru in India. He goes to his ashram and sits for so many months until he reaches a still point and then comes back and does a movie. Well, we think, that by making our objectives, that we're going to have peace of mind. But you know, it's not that way. Napoleon Hill, the great Napoleon Hill, said that he had met the 500 wealthiest men in the United States, most successful, including Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, Carnegie, and he said that none of them had peace of mind. The only ones that had anything like peace of mind was John Burroughs, the famous naturalist. Number two, Thomas Edison. Number three, Andrew Carnegie. Making your objectives and chasing projects and doing things is not going to end up making you happy, and it's not going to end up giving you peace of mind. Peace of mind is a is an inner thing. It's something on the inside that you have to move into through your healing process by resolving the issues you carry, what God wants you to resolve, and getting closer to the pulse of the Creator, of God. I'm not going to tell you how to do that. That's between you and God. But getting closer to God is your true aim in life. It's the true goal in life. It is the purpose and meaning of life. Now, most of us are outside our flow. We need to get into our flow. We're stuck. We're not flowing. And we're not in the Tao, T-A-O. It's what they call God in China. We're not in the Tao. Ma'at, in the ancient Egyptian, the divine plan, God's will. We need to get into the flow of God's plan. That's the easy way. That's the simple way. Let go of all this chasing. It doesn't mean you can't have goals and do things. It's just that thinking that the goals, it's the inner change. And see, in our society, we don't do inner work. We spend our lives chasing. We need to let go. We need to turn things over to the higher power and learn to tune in to God's plan for our life and learn to let go. And that's what we do. That's what I show you how to do in my course. Disease itself is a corrective. Pain and suffering is a corrective. To teach you how to find the great plan. King Gareth Hush, I'll tell you one more story and then we'll have another point. I'll tell you the story next week. Let me grab that point here. I like this one. Are you willing to go deep? Are you willing to understand yourself and touch the deeper places in your soul? Are you willing to breathe a little different, rise up into your power and your truth? Are you willing to work through your inner pain, the toxic shadows of yourself, and face the demons that you carry in the darkened corners and the ugly places of your heart? Are you willing to unfold, to come into your power and find your place, the baggage, and the issues of your life? Are you willing to let go, surrender to your soul, and finally find the person you are truly meant to be? Okay, so tonight we're going to start talking about the remedy, the vine. The vine is a third of the dominating remedies. Remember, the dominating remedies are chicory, vibhasi, and dominating. Heals are rejected easily. The second is heather. Hang on a second. I'm going to have a sip of water. Hang on. In this hot desert, heather's remedy for so chicory is bossy, dominating, and feels rejected easily. Heather is the remedy for talk, always talk about themselves. You can't get a word in Israel. Then we come to vine. Vine's dominating and bossy, but they also can't let go and they can't flow. Are you dominating by nature? All dominating people can tell you, yeah. There's four dominating remedies. Dominators, are you bossy? Vine always likes to be the boss. So it's chicory. They like to be the one in charge. They can't let go. They got to be in control all the time. Even being in control is going to make you tense. In fact, 1978, I took Vine and Verbane, which is the next dominating remedy we're going to take up. I took those remedies for 8 months, and at the end of that time, all my muscle tension. Now, muscle tension is what you work on and with a massage therapist. And I personally have owned three schools of massage. So in 1978, I took the Vine and the Burr Pain for 8 months. At the end of those 8 months, all my muscle tension left. I was getting treatments, too. But all my muscle tension left. And since 1978, I've never had muscle tension ever again. Pretty cool, huh? Because I had to let go. I finally let go. Vine can never let go. Directs others' affairs. They're like telling other people what to do. Strong-minded people who can enforce their will upon others. A couple days ago, I went to into Phoenix, had my car worked on, 50,000-mile service. And I was standing there, and this man came up, and he said, so are you having your car worked on? I said, it was inside there. I said, yeah. He said, what kind of service you had? I said, well, I'm having my 50,000-mile service. He said, what kind of car you got? I said, well, I got a Chevrolet pickup, four-wheel drive. 2000. He said, well, you should come and see our new ones. I said, well, you know what? I don't want to see the new Chevrolets. I've only got 80,000 miles. It's like a new car. I said, I love my truck. I'm going to keep it. He said, well, you know, he said, that's not wise because he said, you need to see what the new ones are like. And he said something else. And I said, well, you know, I have to go. He was trying to maneuver me and boss me and dominate me around into coming and looking at the trucks and buying a new truck. I didn't want to do it. He was a fine person. I didn't want to do it. So I had to extricate myself from the scene. Fine people are dominating in nature. They're manipulating you. They're moving you into a position they want to suck your energy, take your power, take your money, or get sex from you or something from you. This Indian woman, they had lost their daughter and the brother and a military officer of the British came. This was the late 1700s. And met the Indian woman who was older and the brother was there. They never met. And the Indian woman looked at the British officer and said, what do you want? And he said, well, what do you mean, what do we want? He said, white people, British, they always want something. Yeah, the British took over the world. It was a fine nature. Aussie dominating, controlling everybody, some never sets on the British Empire. So they told her what they wanted. The brother was there. But she said, I'm Indian now. I don't want to go back to the whites. God bless her. Strict with others. The Vine can be very strict. I had a person in a class say that I was sitting with some people, and this woman, she was a fine person, and she said to the waiter, she said, you're too fat. You need to go on a diet. Very strict, very bossy, very dominant, almost a little cool, hard masters to others. That's a very unkind thing to say. Overbearing intolerance. So the Vine thinks they know everything. Julius Caesar came back. He conquered the world. Came back to Rome. He was a total Vine person. He thought he knew it all. He thought he knew everything. On the steps of the Senate, all the senators put a knife in his back and in his chest. They didn't like the fact that he was so full of power and wanted to be the emperor of Rome. Overbearing intolerance. So very intolerant, very overbearing with it. Now, you don't have to be so overbearing and pushy to take Vine. You can just be a person who's slightly dominating. If you're slightly dominating and controlling, you'll never be able to relax because you've always got to be in control of everything. You can't relax and let go and let God and trust God. But things are going to be okay. The people around you are going to be okay. The people you love are going to be okay. You don't have to be manipulating everything, trying to get everybody to do what you want. Directs others during illness. So when they're sick, they're going to be going around telling everybody what to do. authoritative nature. This person's authoritative. So is chicken, so is Burbank. Greedy for power. It's still greed, remedy. Vine wants power. Vine wants more power. And Julius Caesar wanted more power. And they put a knife in his back. And in his chest, all the senators got at least one knife thrust in because they didn't like his greed for power. Because one was a republic, not a kingship, not an emperorship. Overconvincing because they're pushing interference, over persuading. Here's another point. Over and over you tell these lies. These lies you live with in the night. These lies you live with. Close your eyes to think it's right. Someday you'll live and speak your truth. Someday your life will be your own. This baggage cleared, this heavy weight, this darkness of the heart worked free. And finally, you can be the person who is free. In the book of God, why don't you listen to the hidden voices of the self, the messages of your own soul? You know, listening to the voice of the soul is something which is a key point of my course, my certification program. Because if you're going to learn to heal your disease and going to learn to heal your pain, you have to listen to the solutions as are given to you by your own higher self, by your own soul. The messages of your soul speak to you in silent whispers in the desert night. Do you hear? Do you listen? The voices and the messages streaming from your soul. Or do you go on doing what you do, and always in your head and never in your heart, thriving in your little ego self of me? Me, me, my right, it's mine, it's mine. You think and scheme the midnight breeze. And tell yourself that what you want is right. How far away from your very soul, how distant from your very heart, in dreams and hunches in the morning light. Sometimes the soul itself will speak. Sometimes the heart will cry. And you will hear. The messages whispered from your soul. Truth once spoken. The still small voice across the desert night. And you can put your money on it. And you can trust your life upon it. And you can put it in your pocket. And you can take it to the bank. Okay. So the vine is authoritative and loves it. It craves authority and power. Are you ambitious? Because ambition is one of the things you use to test the vine. Always heading for the highest power position. Bob seems to always be after power as a solution to the need for love and caring. Like to be in that power place. Self-important is a self-centered remedy. Helps to heal that. Egotism craves authority and power. One that would kill for power would kill someone emotionally if they got in her way. Heart of stone, very cold, glacial. Heart is unemotional. no compassion. Margaret said to the waiter, as we talked about, do you realize you're so too fat? Just need to go on a diet. Mine's very capable. My notes are falling down. Hold on, I'm not here. Capable. Very self-confident. Very self-reliant. Very sure of themselves. Their value in an emergency. No hesitancy. I have a doctor who's a fine guy studying with me. He says, I'm the god of the emergency room. Everybody does exactly what I tell him. He loved it. Of course, I gave him advice. Rigidity. Now, the rigidity means the person has mental rigidity. In their mind, they don't like to entertain new ideas. They don't like to learn new things. They don't like to change. They don't like to flow. Their mind is rigid. And that's called rigidity or mental rigidity. And thine has that. Beach has that. The vervain has that. And the rockwater has that. Inflexible. Opinionated. They always think they're right, always know what's going on. They know everything. Stubborn. They don't like to change anything. Fixed ideas and opinions. They always feel that they're right. Their mind is fixed. Their opinions are fixed. Strong convictions. Sap the vitality of others. They suck your energy. All these dominating remedies suck your energy and take the power. So they're parasitic. And they can be violent, very angry. Holly can be violent, and patience can be violent. And you can also use vervain with one who has a violent energy. Tension, the speaking intention, and strong-willed, very strong-willed. Let me reach another point here. Suppressed again. Sometimes you cannot even breathe. How could you be suppressed like this again? By someone that you care about and love. The little mountain stream bubbles up beside your feet. You stop to drink a bit and fill your tummy up with tears of earth. Such sweet vitality of love and self, of nerves and vital airs pulsing through your body with the force of life, an endless mountain song. And all the voices of the water nymphs and gods and spirits of the earth who sing to you so sweetly as you take the water, sacred, through your lips. The grass around the little stream is singing to the sun. Wild onions and wild parsley will make your evening dinner wonderful. I camped in Mount Shasta one time, and there was wild onions and wild parsley growing right beside this little bubbling stream, so precious. Wild onions and wild parsley will make your evening dinner wonderful. Beside your campfire, underneath the spruce and trees, the mountain whispers of the night. So splendid for your aching soul, so healing for your longing heart. One time, you felt the thrust of life surging in your blood. Your heart was even pulsing with a rush of wind and earth and wilderness of mountain breeze. Before that, you became pulled back, closed down, and stuck. Yet once again, you are suppressed. You've lost yourself again. to dance to someone else's voice and call the darkened rooms of smoke and cloud. And put yourself upon the shelf again and wait and wait. Another day, you'll be yourself. Another day, your own true self. Another day, be true to you. When flowers bloom across the waterside, when eggs are hatched and eagles fly above the cliffs, and wind begins to speak across the vale, and stars and moon reveal their secrets of your hidden breath that lies behind the veil, you will be you. Someday, you'll be the person you were meant to be. Where are all the flowers that were here, the little golden flowers of yesterday, that slept beside the stream and spoke of beauty and of peace? Suppressed, held down my heart, my voice, my very eyes, sleeping to my true self through the day, asleep to deep illusion through the night, holding far away myself as true and real, the me, the true self, who I really am. Denial in the very veil of wilderness, denial of the very veil, the timeless stream of self. Now, in closing, let me tell you a little bit about my school. My school, the Academy of Healing, we have a one-year certification. I sit beside you, hold your hand, and guide you through the inner healing, the gateways and the doorways of your own healing. That's the way you learn to use the remedies. That's the way you learn to work with other people, with the SAN and with Dr. Day's program. We give certified nutrition consultant, we give certified homeopath, and we give homeopathic certification in the treatment of animals and a certified herbalist. And within about 3 months, 4 months, you'll be up and running working with other people. And I tell everybody this should be the most powerful experience of healing in your whole life. And through working together in this program, you'll learn to deliver that to other people. It's just too cool for school. I'm honored to bring this system to the world. And again, my phone number, 406-585-0774, medicinewind.11@gmail.com, and drericlove.com. God bless us all here, and welcome to Healing the Heart. Come back and see us again next week. God bless you.
Healing the Heart with Dr. Eric Love can be heard every Sunday night here on the BBS Radio Network at 6 p.m. PST and 9 p.m. Eastern on Station 1. Please visit his website at www.drericlove.com or call him at 406-585-0774. Thank you for listening.